When He's Scared, That's When I Know, by Marv with a V, read by Coprime. Rating, teen and up. Archive warning, no archive warnings apply. Fandom, Daredevil TV. Relationship, Matt Murdock / Foggy Nelson. Characters, Theo, Anna, and Ed Nelson. Additional tags, point of view Foggy Nelson, extended scene, trust issues, blind Matt Murdock has sensory issues, New Year's Eve, fireworks, Foggy Nelson loves Matt Murdock, protective Foggy Nelson, hurt Matt Murdock, angst, hurt comfort, awesome Foggy Nelson, sick Matt Murdock, pre-relationship, college student Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson at Columbia, friends to lovers, hugs, and comfort. Summary. Matt doesn't like fireworks. Foggy doesn't like it when Matt gets hurt. There's a lot of hugging in between those two things. Podficker's note. This is an alternate version of Chapter 17 of I Thought You Were Blind by Marv, and I just couldn't let it go unpodded. Matt was being quiet again. It seemed to be his default lately, ever since the day after Christmas. Ever since Matt told him about his super hearing. That was what Foggy called it. Heightened senses was a bit of a formal term, way too standoffish for a guy who'd basically admitted to snooping on him for like 4 months now. Yeah, Matt could hear heartbeats and a whole host of other stuff. He could probably hear Foggy's brain ticking over as he sat opposite him at the dining table next to his parents' kitchen. They hadn't talked about it since. Foggy felt like maybe they should, but Matt had kind of shut down. Like maybe he thought he'd said too much and Foggy was feeling the same way about it. He'd said too much. He'd freaked out at Matt about boundaries and personal space and this little thing called privacy laws, which, okay, he'd never heard of any cases involving superhearing, but he was sure he could find a sympathetic judge to take his side if it ever came to that. He should have been better about it, maybe. Matt had just saved him from an oncoming car, after all. But then he'd started thinking about private stuff, or stuff that he'd thought was private. Like wet dreams and jerking off in the shower and other guy stuff. Private stuff. Matt just took that away with his heightened senses. Heightened nosiness, really. And now Foggy didn't have any secrets at all, and it was embarrassing and awkward, and he couldn't talk to him about it because he didn't want to know how much Matt knew about things that used to be private. He glanced at him. But Matt was wearing his glasses, and his poker face was kind of annoyingly good, so Foggy didn't feel confident enough to start the conversation they needed to have. Even just an icebreaker would help. It was really hard to share a room with a guy who wasn't talking to you. He was almost glad when his dad and Theo walked into the room, deep in discussion about something, probably the butcher shop again. Foggy didn't exactly mind the distraction, though. "Who's coming out to watch the fireworks tonight?" Dad asked, and Foggy and Theo gave low hums of acknowledgement. "What about you, Matt?" Matt's head snapped up, like his thoughts had been very far away or something. But then he said, "Fireworks aren't really my thing." "Right, of course. Sorry," Dad quickly apologized. Matt gave a tight-lipped smile, muttering, "Don't worry about it." It was the first time Foggy realized that Matt looked a little strained, like something was going on with him that he wasn't talking about. Like that was unusual. He sighed to himself, not having any idea how he and Matt were going to move past the whole super hearing thing. He leaned forward to talk to him as Dad stepped into the kitchen to make coffee. "You're still coming, right?" he said in a low murmur. "I can describe the fireworks to you if you want." Matt just shook his head, saying, "No, that's okay. Have fun. I'll just stay here and read or something." "If that's what you want," Foggy replied, sighing to himself. "It is," Matt said curtly. Something in his tone warned Foggy to drop it immediately, and he did. He didn't bring up the fireworks for the rest of the afternoon, and in the evening, he went out with the rest of his family to see the fireworks, and left Matt to do whatever it was he wanted to spend New Year's Eve doing, apparently not kissing him at midnight, which was disappointing, to say the least. It was nearly 12:30 by the time he returned to the house with his parents, Theo and Candace having gone bar hopping with some friends. Matt didn't appear to have stayed up waiting for them to come back. The living room was deserted, as was the kitchen. He said goodnight to his parents and went upstairs to his room. He slowly pushed the door open, the hallway light illuminating the room enough that he could find his way to his bed, which was empty, as was the camp bed. Where the hell was Matt? A muffled sob and a soft sniffle from the corner of the room made Foggy's head snap around. Matt was sitting on the floor, his knees drawn up to his chest and his hands pressed to his ears, tears streaming down his cheeks as he rocked back and forth. Mouth dry, Foggy immediately moved towards him. "Matt. Matt, hey, are you all right?" he asked, but Matt just gave a soft whimper and ignored him. "Matt, it's me. Hey." He crouched down in front of him, looking at him with concern for a long moment. Either Matt had had a nightmare, or something was really wrong. He brushed a teardrop from his friend's cheek with his thumb, and Matt jerked, evidently startled. "It's me. It's me. It's Foggy," he said reassuringly. Matt's tension didn't abate in the slightest. His expression didn't change at all, in fact. But after a moment, he let his hands fall away from his ears and lurched forward, practically burying his face in Foggy's jacket and breathing deeply, like he was smelling him or something, which was admittedly weird behavior, but it was Matt, so... "Foggy," he whispered, clinging to him. Yeah, it's me, Matt," Foggy said, patting his back awkwardly and starting to feel seriously unnerved. "What's going on with you?" Matt only clung to him more tightly and whispered, "I can't hear properly. I can't hear." "What do you mean you can't hear? Whoa. Oh shit, Matt," Foggy exclaimed, as Matt drew back and put a hand to his ear, his trembling fingers coming away wet with blood. "Shit. Shit. Shit." Foggy said that word over and over, not knowing what to do. Matt clung to him so tightly, anchoring him to the spot and making it impossible for him to detach himself from him and go find help. He was sure his mom would know what to do. But Matt clung to him so tightly that he knew leaving him for even 2 minutes just wasn't an option when Matt was this freaked out. In the end, he managed to half-drag him to the camp bed, and they collapsed on it together, Foggy holding Matt and stroking his hair until his roommate calmed significantly and drifted to sleep. Foggy stayed awake for a long time, trying to understand. He did. He got the link between super hearing and fireworks. They really weren't Matt's thing. But why Matt hadn't just stated that more clearly and let him help him, he was at a loss to understand. By the time morning came, Foggy was exhausted and worried, not having slept much. His fears weren't soothed much when the first thing Matt did after waking was sit up, swaying slightly, all color draining from his face as he leaned over the edge of the camp bed and threw up. Foggy grimaced and rubbed soothing circles over his back, murmuring, "Hey, can you hear me? Matt? Matt? I'm getting you help, just..." He helped Matt stand and guided him up onto his bed, wrapping a blanket around his shoulders and smoothing his sweat-dampened hair back from his forehead. Matt was the picture of misery, pale and shaky, and Foggy sighed, wishing he knew how to comfort him. In the end, he set a ridiculous plush whale Candace had given him for Christmas in Matt's arms, which was maybe a little bit of a dorky thing to do, but was one of those lavender-scented ones, and he'd heard that was a comforting smell. Matt seemed to appreciate the thought and clutched the whale to his chest as Foggy slipped quickly from the room and made his way downstairs to retrieve his phone from where he'd left it, charging in the living room. "Who are you calling this early?" Theo asked, walking into the living room just as Foggy had finished dialing the number for the local clinic. Doctor, he murmured distractedly. It's a public holiday. They're not open today, Theo informed him as Foggy stared at him in horror. But, he protested weakly. Are you sick, Fog? Theo asked, with that big brother kind of concern that made Foggy grateful for him sometimes. No, Foggy said, hanging up with a sigh. He's not feeling well. He needs a doctor now. He looked hopefully at Theo, needing someone else to have answers, to know how to help Matt, because he didn't, and despite his roommate's blindness, he'd never seen him as vulnerable, at least not physically. What Stick did to him was a whole other thing that he really didn't need to go into with Theo right now. Matt might just have to wait until tomorrow, Theo said, shaking his head doubtfully. No, Foggy said adamantly. Theo just sighed and said, Well, unless you want me to drive him to the hospital, there's not much else I can do. Where are the keys? Foggy asked immediately. On the kitchen counter. Foggy, how sick is he? Theo asked worriedly. Foggy sighed and slipped his phone into the pocket of his jeans. He didn't know what to tell Theo about Matt right now. He wasn't about to reveal Matt's secret super senses to his big brother, but at the same time, Matt needed help, and Theo could help. It's an ear thing, Foggy said, settling on the truth, or at least part of it. Like an infection? Theo guessed, frowning slightly. Something like that, Foggy agreed, biting his lip. He's in a lot of pain. I can't make him wait till tomorrow, Theo. Theo nodded gravely. Take the car, he suggested, jerking his thumb towards the garage. Tell Matt I hope he feels better soon. I will. Thanks, Foggy said gratefully. He was quite tempted to hug him at that moment, but he restrained himself, retrieving the keys from the kitchen instead. He wanted to get Matt some medical attention first, and then when he came back, he'd tell Theo what a good big brother he was, and then Theo would tease him about it until the end of time. That was just how things went with siblings. Even when you loved them, you couldn't just tell them that without being called a dork or a sap. He hated hospitals. He hated hospitals with long wait times and unsympathetic nurses even more. No, Matt wasn't drunk. No, he hadn't done any drugs. Yes, he was aware that emergency departments were for emergencies only. He filled out the paperwork as best he could, since Matt was a bit nonverbal at the moment, and spent most of the time in the waiting room with his head in Foggy's lap, which wasn't something he minded at all. It just would have been better if Matt wasn't, you know, crying and stuff. He was clearly scared and in pain, and Foggy wondered vaguely if all fireworks affected him this way. That was at least twice a year he had to plan for, New Year's and the 4th of July. That wasn't even accounting for neighbors who set off firecrackers in their yard whenever they felt like it. It felt like it was forever before a doctor finally made themselves available to check Matt out. It didn't take long for the guy to confirm that Matt had torn an eardrum. Foggy didn't find him very helpful, especially when the doctor made a comment about how rare it was to sustain trauma to the eardrum from fireworks, like he thought he and Matt were lying about how it happened. But at least they were free to go, with a prescription for painkillers and several warnings about keeping the ear dry. It should heal on its own, the doctor said, not seeming too concerned. Foggy was, but that was just because he cared about Matt, and the poor guy looked like he was going to keel over any minute. By the time he picked up some painkillers from the drugstore and got Matt home, his roommate was clearly at his limit. Foggy made sure he took his painkillers and ate something first, but he wound up sitting on the couch with him, Matt's head resting in his lap once again, his roommate drifting back to sleep as the painkillers took effect. Foggy looked down at his pale, tear-stained face and sighed, feeling about ready to cry himself. He was exhausted, and seeing Matt hurt was about the worst feeling in the world. He officially hated fireworks, he decided, as his mom came and set a steaming mug of hot chocolate on the coffee table. How's he doing? She asked, looking anxiously at Matt, who at least looked peaceful in sleep. Foggy shrugged and mumbled, "The doctor says it'll get better on its own. He burst an eardrum or something." "Are you all right, Foggy?" Mom asked, the slight tremor in his tone evidently not having gone unnoticed. It was scary, he admitted, biting his lip. "I mean, I worry about him sometimes, but when he's scared, that's when I know it's really bad." He swallowed hard and nodded to himself. Matt was tough. He knew that he was. He didn't cry over nothing. He hardly ever cried or got emotional. The only times he had were related to Stick abducting and traumatizing him. For Matt to seem so fragile right now, he knew the pain was nothing less than a 10 for him. "He'll be okay, Foggy," Mom said reassuringly. "He just needs time." Foggy scoffed and muttered, "You keep saying that. It doesn't make it easier." "I never said it did," Mom replied with a gentle smile. "What's really worrying you?" "He's been distant all week, and it's my fault," Foggy admitted, blinking back tears. "We had a talk the day after Christmas about personal stuff and feelings, and I kind of came down on him pretty hard about boundaries. I just keep thinking I should have stayed with him last night." Mom didn't say anything for a long moment. She just looked at him and at Matt, then sighed and shook her head, as if the two of them were utterly hopeless, adorably so. And maybe they were. Then she leaned down and picked up the mug of hot chocolate, placing it in Foggy's hands with a sympathetic smile. "What is it you keep telling me about respecting Matt's choices?" she said gently. "You staying home wouldn't have changed this, Foggy." "It would have," Foggy mumbled, adding under his breath. "I'd feel better about it." "Maybe. Drink your hot chocolate," Mom suggested. "You'll feel better. Sugar always helps." "Yeah, thanks," Foggy mumbled, as she gave his shoulder a reassuring pat and left the room. He waited until he was sure she was gone, and then he leaned down and whispered to Matt, "Why couldn't you have had super healing instead?" He sighed and sipped his hot chocolate, as his mom had suggested, but he watched Matt sleep for a long time, regretting not being there last night. All for some stupid fireworks. Next year, they were leaving the city for New Year's Eve, he decided. He wouldn't make the same mistake twice. Matt seemed a little more like his old self over the next few days, if a little quiet and withdrawn. He was much closer to him than usual, seeming to take his best comfort from being near Foggy, leaning against him or resting with his head in his lap. Foggy didn't mind that at all. The nights were the hardest. The painkillers would wear off around 4 a.m., and Matt wouldn't say anything, but he would whimper into his pillow until Foggy inevitably pressured him to climb under the covers with him, and he would hold him until Matt drifted back to sleep. Tonight was different, though. It was only 1 a.m. for starters, and the noise he heard wasn't Matt, or at least, it wasn't Matt making muffled sounds of pain. It was Matt opening the window, which creaked when it was cold. Hello, Hell's Kitchen in January. It was freezing. "Matt?" Foggy said uncertainly, sitting up. "Sorry, I need to hear," Matt murmured from the window. Foggy frowned and asked, "Can you?" "It's faint, echoing, like I'm at the bottom of a well or a canyon or something." "But yeah," Matt confirmed with a small, very fragile smile. Foggy got up and joined him at the window, muttering, "Have you ever been to a canyon?" "No, but I can imagine," Matt returned, smiling at him. Foggy wrapped his arms around him in a gentle hug. It was becoming a habit now. Comfort through touch, because words hadn't been doing much for Matt lately. When Matt actually leaned into his touch instead of being the first to pull away, Foggy blushed, not having expected it at all. "How are you feeling?" he asked quietly. "Better," Matt murmured in reply. "Thanks for... I know this has been a lot." "It has, but I care about you, Matt. I don't like when you get hurt, Foggy admitted, whispering the words to him. Matt didn't say anything. He just hugged him a little tighter and gently, ever so gently, brushed his lips against Foggy's cheek, making his heart jump like a live wire. Yeah, they were going to figure this whole thing out and find a way to love and trust each other. Foggy knew it for sure now. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work for the author.